this. And I want to share a little bit about the authority that the Lord Jesus has given to us as a church and for us as believers. And I'm going to continue with this topic next week. So, I almost said Pastor Mark. You see, Mark Mankies, he said something about the Korigas missions earlier on. And then when he came to the front, he said, "I'm not your new pastor." And I replied later on, I said, "Well, I'm also not your new pastor. I'm the old one." Okay, so because when he said he's not the new one, people said, "Oh, you know," so we just love him so much. So it's awesome to have people like that in our church. You can follow in your Bible if you have it. Otherwise, at the back, you can also read. I want to start this morning. I want to read from Matthew chapter 21, it's more towards the end of the book of Matthew, from verse 23 to verse 27. And I'm going to start and just lay a bit of a foundation. And I believe we're going to stand still for a while, just a little bit on this topic. I'm going to share quite a lot of scriptures. You can write it down this morning. Otherwise, you're welcome. If you want to, I'll mail my slides to you. If it will mean or help anything, you're more than welcome. Verse 23. "And when he entered the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?' Jesus answered them, 'I will also ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things.'" Then basically just continue, you can read the rest there. There's a good conversation where Jesus basically, in a sense, just checkmate once again his, let's say, opposition, you know, let's say outsmart them, and I believe that's a fair expectation, because he could discern their hearts. He knew what was in their hearts and where they actually wanted to take the conversation. But because he had that discernment, you know, he could ask them a question back. And that's usually in our quiet time or in our lives, you know, when we feel the Lord ask us a question. It's not because he wants the answer. He wants for us to see what is in our hearts and what is happening in our lives. But church, I believe this was quite a good question. I think I might have asked the same question if I were one of the scribes or the Pharisees or the priests walking around there. And remember, before this, as I said, it's chapter 21. It's a little bit into the narrative and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus turned water into wine. He silenced the storm or calmed the storm. He healed the sick, a lot of sick people. Miraculous healings taking place. He delivered people from unclean spirits. And that's the power of God working through his son, Jesus Christ, driving back all the darkness of this world, all the demonic forces, every bad work of the enemy. It's the light coming to shine, the word that's among us. And he's driving back this darkness for people to be set free, people to be healed, and people to be healed spiritually through salvation. These people really had a tough time because Jesus even said there's forgiveness in him. Okay, Jesus wasn't a typical rabbi. He wasn't from a major or a very high social standing in that sense. But you see, the people, so clearly, the people were basically, they saw what was happening. When Jesus did a miracle, you know, it was a miracle, exactly what it said. If you continue a little bit and we go on to Luke chapter 4, verse 31 to 32 and then 36, just listen to what happened and what the author tells us here about the ministry of Jesus Christ. Verse 31, "And when he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority." His words possessed authority. Then verse 36, "And they were all amazed and said to one another, 'What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and even they come out.'" This is telling us that when Jesus ministered on a Sunday, it wasn't your typical ministry the people were used to. Stuff happened. The people were amazed. They wouldn't have been amazed if nothing happened, you know. Then it would have been like many of us sitting in church. "Oh, it's a good message." You know, something like that, okay? When Jesus ministered the word, the people could discern. The people could see something's different here. Stuff is happening. There's authority. There's signs and wonders that followed his ministry. Stuff were happening there where Jesus was. Everyone who got healed, obviously they could have testified about what was happening there. But this was the powerful, this is the reason, part of the reason why Jesus were basically sent. And the people could discern that the previously the rabbis, they taught, you know, they copied each other and they had all the things they said. You know, they had the standing in society, but they weren't any spiritual authority. People were amazed when the unclean spirits, when Jesus spoke to them and they had to leave. It's not something they saw on satellite TV or on YouTube or an iPhone or stuff. Those things weren't around. They saw it for the first time. It was powerful. It was some of their friends, some of their family, people that they know who got healed and set free. That's why Scripture said the people were amazed. The people recognized who Jesus was and this authority that he had. Now, you know, church, I think every year we can look back to, you know, I'm still young in many ways, but, you know, when I look to older people and when they tell stories about the youth, but I'm not talking about you this morning, my friend, I'm talking about older people, so it's not applicable to you. When we, you know, there's that opportunity for people to reflect on their lives. And if there's one thing I want to reflect on this year, it was about 6 weeks or 2 months ago when Pastor Andre Creer was here this morning, that weekend, and he ministered. And he said for 9 years he was in full-time ministry and he didn't know the power of God, you know, to be so honest. But those of you who were there the weekend, you know, Pastor Andre, we prayed for people and we had testimonies of, you know, there was prophecy, there was people that physically got healed, and it was so precious. And, you know, that's the authority of God. That is what Jesus gave to his church. There was something that morning that I just said, Lord, I have to echo what he said. There's so much authority that we're not walking in that the Lord actually gave to us. And it's as if we are either afraid or lazy or I don't know what, but don't want to walk in that place. And I believe, church, that I believe, you know, just after the Afrikaans service, if you want feedback on your sermon, you can just ask your wife. You know, she will always tell you the honest truth. And she said to me, you know, this is for us. She said for me and you. I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm preaching it. You know, I know it starts in our lives. It's something that we need to pursue. So obviously it witnessed in her heart because there's a lot of stuff we're talking through and working through and I believe God is doing. But it's also something he's doing in our church. Something I believe he's doing in our midst. So just a quick, where did Jesus get this authority? You know, the priest, the chief priest, they were amazed. They didn't understand. They couldn't get their minds around what was happening here. Okay, Scripture says in Luke chapter 3, verse 21 to 22. Now, when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, the visible heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in the bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, my beloved. In you I am well pleased and delighted." Beautiful words, powerful words, prophetic words. Okay, that was spoken there. The Father to his Son. Basically, this is my Son. I love who you are. I'm commissioning you here. We are one. Jesus always said he came from the Father. He and the Father is one. He's in the Father's authority. He's walking in that place. Also, there's quite a few places in Scripture. I also want to just share John chapter 5, verse 26 to 27. The Father has life in himself, and he has granted that same life-giving power to his Son. And he has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. Scripture saying to us, listen, all this authority has been given to Jesus Christ. And you know, Jesus walked in that. He had his ministry on earth. He was obedient. He died on the cross. He rose again. You know, he's sitting today in heavenly places. And we see in Scripture that he wasn't just another guy coming, walking around in town, trying to do stuff. He was the Son of God, fully God, fully man. Something that's still difficult for us to understand, but it's an important point. Okay, and he had this mantle of righteousness, of having no sin, and walking in the authority that as God has given him. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 to 29, I just want to refer to that. It says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. Now, there's something I want to just hold before us, before myself, before us as a church, and maybe you can take it home as well. You know when we really walk in the authority that the Lord has given us? I believe the town will start to talk about it because they will see it. And they will ask the same question then I started with. What is this authority? Who is these people? You know, because many people will know you and say, I know Mark. He grew up there. He's the son of this and that person. Okay, and now he's leading worship or he's preaching or sharing the word. And signs and wonders are happening in his life. Who made him special? What is happening here in his life? Okay. Church, we need to walk in this place. We really need to walk in this place. And I'll come back to this point. Early in the week, we had to encounter one and a good friend of mine that were there. And that's a prophetic word, a good friend. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. And, you know, one of the ladies shared testimony. And she basically just testified the way she got to the Lord is, you know, how she saw, she went basically to someone, a young man, a doctor in that sense, a physiotherapist, the Afrikaans word, and she just saw that something that many of us have saw before. Something's different. Something's different in this person's life. And you can pick it up. And sometimes you will discern it's God's spirit. Other times you will just be baffled, but what is it what you have that I don't have? And we have a beautiful testimony in our house in that sense. When we still lived in Windhoek, my wife was a hairdresser like she's now. And there was a lady from the French embassy that came to her to cut her hair always. And then to cut a long story short, I remember the one, but she didn't come from a Christian background at all. She asked her, Maritza, you've got something I don't have. What is it what you have? People can sense it. People can see the love of God. They can feel if you're a spirit-filled person. But they don't always understand that. And that led to a beautiful story that over the next year, we actually married her and the man she stayed with became her husband. And it was just amazing. And how we actually led her to the Lord. It was such a special place. But it started with that place. And praise God for my wife. Just having that something, that Christ-likeness, where people can sense it and people can see it. Okay, so this is just a bit of background where Jesus got his authority. Please go and do a bit of homework. There's quite a lot. Jesus walked in this. We saw all the storms calmed and the healing of the sick, etc. But it didn't stop there. When Jesus died, this ministry didn't end. Okay, or when Jesus left the earth, if I can put it like that, when he rose again and went back to the Father. No, we read here in Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 3, I'm going to refer to Jesus sending out the 12, then a chapter later, Jesus sending out the 72. Okay, let's see what happened there. Let's read from Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 3. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. He said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, and do not have two tunics. Okay? Basically, Jesus sending the 12 out, he knew exactly what was going to happen. He's basically commissioning them, but it's not like, Saki, you go there and tell people about me, Jesus, and you just try and be the best person you can be. No, Scripture says, ye, who? Jesus, he gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal the sick. Okay? That's walking in authority. He said, I'm giving it to you. I'm speaking it over you. The fact that he spoke it, it means it happened. They had it. And they went out and they proclaimed the reign of God. And they came back. They healed the sick. And, you know, the power and authority they had enabled them to minister. I'm not going to read the whole part, but in Luke chapter 10, from verse 10 onwards, you can see the same thing. He's sending out now a bigger group of people, the 72. He gave them authority, power, just the same thing. He sent them out. And here I'm going to pause for a moment. You know, many times in the house, they will, I'll hear everything's quiet and peaceful, and then one of the kids will come to me and say, you know, I'm not someone who's got a big, I've got a few sins, but chocolates isn't one of them. Okay, praise God. I don't have a soutant in Afrikaans. So there will be a chocolate on my table, or let's say there's a chocolate. Then one of the kids will come and say, Dad, can't I have it? And then to the boys, I will usually say, no, you can't. And then my little girl comes and I say, okay, yes, you can have it. That's unfair, I guess. But it's all the dads in the house will understand. Little girls does it to our hearts, to our father hearts. But let's use that as an example. And then say, ah, and I'll say, okay, let's, you can have it and take it. And then in a few minutes, I don't want to say all hell breaks loose. But you know, then the boys discover she has the chocolate. And then they will, what happened? They'll come running to me and says, Dad, Ulrike has got the chocolate. And then she will say, yes, but Dad says I can have it. Then there's a fight. Okay, but she's using the, basically, I gave that thing to her, so she's okay, she didn't do anything wrong. But now there's a problem because they want it as well. I said, because they know they can't just take it, that's wrong. But she's coming back to that place of, I gave it to her. So she's that, she has got that authority in a sense, or that blessing, she can eat it or she can have it. Do you hear what I'm saying? And what happened here when the 72 came back? They were amazed. They were so excited, almost like little children who wanted to say, listen, I got the chocolate. Dad gave me the chocolate. And it comes back and it says in verse 17, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name! Exclamation mark. Okay, so excited, so amazing. You gave us the authority, we went out, and stuff happened. Church, the Lord Jesus didn't give us authority to sit still. The Lord gave us authority to go. Stuff will happen. And when I say go, I don't mean necessarily even to the ends of the earth, but to your neighbor, your workplace, wherever. There's a place that the Lord has said, you should go. I give you this chocolate. And the moment in the Afrikaans service and church, we can't duplicate two church services. It doesn't work like that always. But there were one or two people sharing just a few testimonies about basically being willing, very afraid, very worried always, what will happen when I go and pray for someone crying there on the wall, or just being obedient when the Lord says, just hug this person, and then the person bursts out in tears or what. Okay, it's just being obedient. The Spirit knows. It searches the heart of all men. Okay? There's that place where we, when we go in the authority that the Lord has given to us as His people and as the church, that stuff will happen. And we will come back and we will say, amen, this has happened and that will happen, and we're excited. But that equation doesn't work when we say, oh God, thank you for all this authority. Now I sit there. You hear what I'm saying? In verse 19, it says, same Luke chapter 10, it says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Okay? Basically, that's referring to physical things, but also spiritual things. Listen carefully what it says, this, the second part of the verse. And over all the power of the enemy. Does the enemy have power? Yes. You can go and check that. Go to witch doctors, or Sangomas, or Mshangans, or many lots of different things. The enemy has got power. But Jesus said, behold, I have given you authority over that power. That is there. But the authority we have in Christ is stronger. That song, My God is Greater. What is that song with My God is Greater? Of our Lord is Lord. Okay? We saw it in the life of Jesus Christ. We saw it in the life of the disciples. And we saw it in the book of Acts, the early church. Okay? And it's there for you and for me. We were sitting last week at a Bible school. This is promotion for next year for Bible school as well, please. Sign up. You know, and I was paging through the second year book while we were listening to a certain DVD, Myrna will know. And I was just got caught again into church history, just paging, going through, you know, what happened in the history of the church. Because we had this time of the book of Acts where it was just amazing, fast church happening, Paul, Peter, church expanding, the gospel going to nations, you know. But then with the fall of Rome in 475 after Christ, things crashed. And there was for about 1,000 years with the dark years. Man, can you? It's just so sad. It's just so sad. For about 1,000 years, the church were doing a lot of things it wasn't supposed to do. They were lying to people, robbing people, not everyone and all the time, but there was a lot of nonsense that the church did. We have to own up to that. But then here, just before, or just going with the Renaissance, about 1,000 years later, 1,450 roundabout years after Christ's birth, you know, there came life back to the church. There came light back to the church. There came truth back to the church. Okay, with the John Wesleys and the John Huss and Calvin and Luther and these guys, revival in many ways started, you know. It's about 500 years ago that the Reformation started. And guys, we can't have another dark age in terms of the church. We need to walk in what God has given us. We need to walk in what He has given to us. There was, you know, baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things that has been restored to the church. And I believe something that I really believe that God wants to restore into our lives and corporately is this authority that Jesus gave to the disciples, because He gave it to us as well. It didn't end there. There wasn't a verfall datum, you know. There wasn't a time that it's like, okay, I'll be with you and then it stops. No. Let's read here in one of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible, I believe, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and He said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then it says, "Go therefore." Okay? "Go therefore. I've got all the authority." And what did Jesus chose to do? He says, "I'm going back to the Father. I'm going to prepare a place for you. The victory on the cross has been done. Jesus rose again. But now I'm sending you out. Now I'm passing the baton to you. You go and do the work now." Okay? "I will be with you. Go and make disciples, teach people." And then it says so beautifully, just something in my heart, always a reflection of the Father heart of God. It ends off with, "And I will be always with you until the end of the age. I'm not going to leave you. There will not be a time when it will be too dark and I will not be there anymore. I will be with you. Go therefore. All authority has been given to me, and I've given it now to my church." Jesus will build His church, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. We read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 to 12. "And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Amen. "That Jesus Christ is Lord." Amen. "To the glory of the Father." One of my favorite 500 scriptures, okay? Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue will confess. Jesus has given this authority to God, has exalted Him, okay? Every knee will bow. No matter how dark it is in your life, no matter where you are walking at nighttime, you can know He who is inside us is greater than He who is in the world. Church, when we worship, when we pray, when we read the Word, we are starting to walk in this authority. If we are lazy Christians, you know, the devil will just say boo and you're going to run. Seriously. If we don't have relationship with Christ, if we don't spend time in prayer, time in the Word, time with believers, fellowship, fasting, all those disciplines, if we don't have that, you're not going to walk in that place of feeling this authority that Jesus has given to us as His church. Now, I honestly believe that, you know, a part of me wants to say, "Come on, guys, really, we need to come on, church, we really need to man up. We need to walk in this place. We need to grow, and we need to be strong and all of that. But I think the time is gone for that. I want to ask the question rather, can we afford to not walk in that place with authority as the church? Can we be a church with no strength, if I can put it like that? Friday morning, a good friend of mine in South Africa sent me the article in the Mail in the Guardian in South Africa in the High Court. The word has been said, or the case has been finished basically. It will from now on be against the law. You will be criminally persecuted as a parent if you, now I have to get my English correct, give your children a hiding. Okay, that fight, that biblical place of where we as Christians believe, as Scripture says, we should love our children, but if necessary, we should bring correction with the rod. That's done now. We lost that battle. It's finished. Okay? Now when you do that, you need to decide. You do a biblical thing, or there's the chance that, Saki, if you're my son, you can go to the police and basically say, my father gave me a biblical hiding or whatever, and there will be criminal charges laid against me as a father. That's why I'm asking, can we, and this is not where my sermon comes from, it comes from my heart and something I believe God is saying to us. Can we afford to become or to be a church without strength, without authority? And I'm not saying if it's the church's fault in that sense. What this is not a prophetic word, but I'm quite sure if God gives me another 30, 40 years to live, there will be a lot more stuff like this. There's a lot more stuff like this that will happen. I won't be surprised, and you can put this recording there in the shelf somewhere, okay? There will come a time that there's certain things Scripture calls sin that we cannot say it's sin anymore. Otherwise, I'm going to have to choose either jail, and in many countries it's like that. If I say this is sin, that is sin according to the Word of God, no, there will be something about human rights or you will be persecuted. It's a sad thing. What's going to happen now? The High Court said this is it. So I'm saying this morning, can we afford not to walk in the authority that God has given us? I want to start ending off slowly but surely. In Acts, Paul understood this principle. Paul was a no-nonsense guy regarding many things. Paul understood the authority he as an apostle that he had, that he walked in, the mandate, the calling upon his life, and what the Lord Jesus did. Okay? But that authority we have as well. I want to read to you here in Acts, and listen carefully. Acts 13, verse 8 to 11. I'm going to start from verse 6. It's a bit okay. Now, when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew's name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. He wanted to hear the word of God. Now, when Paul, I believe, when someone said to Paul, listen, come here, I want to hear the word of God, that would resonate in his heart. But listen what happened. But Elymas, the sorcerer, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O full of deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for some time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Now I just want to say in small writing yet, don't try this at home. This is not what I'm saying. Just be careful, okay? Don't try it on your brother or sister just for no reason. But it's a place of authority that Paul had. Paul had a mandate to preach the good news, to be evangelist, to teach people. And there was people that he was sent to bring the word. And this magician, which is definitely inspired by demonic forces. He wanted to pervert, basically. He wanted to stop that. And Paul just had a no-nonsense attitude. Why? Because me, Paul, I'm going to stop you, fight you with the sword, give your name to the police or the authorities? No. He knew who he was in Jesus Christ. And he said, you stop this, okay? You son of the devil. He was very clear in someone standing between him and what he had to do, preaching the good news. Now, when someone in town on a corner of a street has to do something like that, we all think, whoa, 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 you're getting a bit carried away. But it's about something of authority that Paul had, authority that Paul understood. It wasn't about hurting this person. He was talking to the spirit behind that thing. I want to show you another example. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Nice one to remember. The last scripture for today. Acts 16, verse 16. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation, which is correct. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her at that very hour. Did you see something here? He didn't start cursing the girl and calling her names and stuff like that. He spoke to the spirit in that girl. Okay? He addressed that spirit and said, you go out. You stop interfering in our work. That's authority. That's not like, oh, here's something wrong. I don't like what's happening here. I'll rather go and evangelize or go to another place where things are a bit easier. No, he spoke to that thing. He knew the authority that he had. Okay? So church, I just want to hold this before us. You know, we can see so clearly in the life of Jesus Christ, the authority that he walked in. People were amazed. People couldn't handle it in a sense. The chief priests and the guys, they didn't like what they were seeing because I believe they were very jealous in their hearts about what Jesus was doing. But he was teaching the people with authority and there were power in his words. The people were amazed. Jesus sent out the 12 and then he sent out the 72 and they came running back to see the picture, being so excited and said, Lord, even the evil spirits, the demons are subject to us because of the authority that Jesus has given to them. Jesus right there at the back of Matthew 28, he says, guys, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, you go out. You go make disciples. You go to the end of the earth. And we see here in the life of Paul, we see in the book of Acts, there's quite a few examples that you can study. The church walking in this authority. Church, are we still walking in this authority? Do we have it? How do we just get it? By the laying on of hands or what? Or do we pursue God? Do we follow hard after God? Seeking Him, worshiping Him, spending time in the Word, spending time in the church. It's a sermon on its own. Okay? You're not just going to wake up one morning and just walk in that. You're going to say, Lord, I'm afraid, but I want to. And the more we see this, the power of the Lord in our lives, because I want to see what we had that weekend, it wasn't about Andre. It was just about what God was doing in his life. I want to see it in my life. And I want to see it in our lives. The proof will be, the town will be starting to talk about this power. And then we have the wonderful opportunity to say, hey, it's not me, or Saki, or Mbasa. Okay? It's the Lord Jesus. He gave us this authority. Okay? And we can testify and we can share the good news. We can share the gospel. And as I said, I just believe we are already at a place and going very quickly to a place where we cannot afford anymore to lose battles to the secular world in a sense. We're going to be persecuted. There's a lot of things that can happen, that will happen. But we've got a free will, okay? There's an opportunity for us to say, Lord, I want this. God didn't say, this nation I give it to and that nation I don't. Give it to men, but not to women or something like that. No ways. It's here for me and for you, okay? We need to pursue it. We need to talk to God about it, pray to Him about it, study the Scriptures, study the Word. And I can't wait. You know, I said it, I think I said it earlier, I said it in Afrikaans service. You know, when I started preaching, I always thought, God, can I just survive this 30, 40 minutes? Because it felt like oral at school. It was tough and challenging to speak. And then we fail as pastors and we fail as leaders in many ways. But the more we grow, the less we worry about that nonsense, whether it's a good sermon or not. We worry about people. We worry about our nation, our town. We worry about the church. It's not about me and standing there anymore. You get past that you thing. You die anyway in a way. Ministry helps you just faster to get to that place. But there's a desire in my heart to say, Lord, when we pray last night for my boy, for his headache to go away, it went away. 2 hours later, he said, it's back. I told my wife, we're going to pray again. That thing must leave. I know everyone is comfortable with that, but I know we need to grow in that. We need to grow in that. We cannot afford to be a church who's got Bibles and come together and do many things, but that power and authority is missing. Okay? The Lord has given it to us. It's there. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, as a church, we come to you, Lord God. And Father, I can only decide for myself, Lord God. But I know, Lord God, it's your heart, Lord. Lord, you wouldn't have sent the disciples out just in their own strength, Lord God. Lord, you gave them authority over the power of the enemy. Lord, that applies to us. It's so amazing, Lord, today to even to see when a demon is addressed in the name of Jesus Christ, that it has to bow its knee and to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that there's healings. Healings in this church, in this town, in many nations, Lord God. And Father, we see in so many places darkness rising up against the church, against society, Lord. And I know, Lord, we cannot be a little group of people trying to be good people, Lord God. We have to walk in this authority. We need to pray with authority. We need to heal with authority. We need to go out with authority. And that power will be with us. Lord, thank you, Lord, for that promise you gave us, that you will be with us till the end of the age. That year today, in the 10th month of 2017 in Swakopmund, that you are with us. That you are with us. That you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That your word still stand. Lord, change our hearts. Sift us, Lord. Shake us, Lord. That we will wake up out of this slumber, Lord God. That we will stand up. Be strong in Christ, Lord God. Strong as Paul was. That we will address this opposition we have and we face. Give us a boldness, Lord God. Because I know, Lord, we cannot afford to be a powerless church. In the name of Jesus Christ.